Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Let's say hello to Nick Leckie, who joins the show every week. Hello, Nick. How are you?
I'm wonderful, man. How are you gentlemen doing today?
Doing very well. Sunflower Showdown on Saturday. Talk some trash to Nate Buchady.
I don't think KU's going to underestimate K-State this year, that's for sure. So that's going to be a good one. I know KU's going to be on their A game on Saturday when they come to the Octagon of Doom, trying to avoid Sandstorm getting played at the end.
Well, there it is. There's the request. Nate, respond to Nick Leckie. Let's get it going here.
Respect for this K-State team. They're really very good. Yeah. They just beat Texas Tech and Texas back-to-back games.
Yeah, on the road and in the Frank Irwin Center and down in Austin, too, and then at home. They're playing solid, man. Yes, Bruce. You know, Bruce will have his teams riot.
Sunflower Showdown.
They get streaky. I like it.
Now, listen to this. Again, Nick, what's your immediate reaction when you hear this music?
Head bump. Head bob.
All right, the Sunflower Showdown.
Now, listen to Charlie Weiss.
Beat the beat up.
Yeah, first of all, just crank this up real quick. Does it feel like you're in Manhattan, Nate?
Woo. Yeah.
On a whip like the beat in the air.
Now, okay, that's enough of that. Now listen, this is when Charlie Weiss, Sunflower Showdown week. Can you feel his enthusiasm through the phone when he says it? Listen.
All right, the Sunflower Showdown.
Just
an outsider who never really wanted to be here.
What?
Really. Basically, was just collecting checks. He knew what he wanted to do. He wanted to make the best business move ever. I think he paid from like three schools to stay away at one time.
We're talking about K-State.
It was amazing. You know, think about that, right? He was getting paid by three schools at one point to stay away from their school, or three organizations.
Pretty impressive.
At one point. That's Business Hall of Fame stuff right there.
Are you buying into all this Buffalo is the team now hype? Josh Allen is the better quarterback. Buffalo is ready to take the baton from the Chiefs, the passing of the torch, and Buffalo's going to come in here and beat the Chiefs on Sunday night, because that's what everyone's saying nationally. All the talking heads on the on ESPN and NFL Network and whatever else.
You know, it's funny. I think with ESPN, it's sad that they've gotten like this whole herd mentality. Like, it's like whoever wins a game by a lot, they don't analyze it. They don't break it down. It's like, oh, they're the best. They're going all the way. You know, they dethroned. They put a beat down on New England. And it's like now they're ready, as my man Danny Greenwood say, crown them, right? They're ready to crown them right now. And it's like, we'll see what they can do. Josh Allen is a fantastic quarterback. He's got a great arm. He's smart. He can run the ball. So I think with that edge, with him running the ball, being able to run the ball, better than Patrick, being a little bit more reckless with everything. That's why they're saying that he's better than Patrick. And it's like, you know, he might be. He might be up there for sure. But it's like, man, you know, you've got to prove yourself. So they're going to come in and want to prove themselves. You know, they're playing in Buffalo weather this weekend. And it's like, okay, you know, you guys be good. It's going to be a good matchup. But, you know, no one's going to underestimate you now. You know, you already came in this year and put a beat down on the Chiefs. And it's like, you know, can you do it again? We'll see. You know, we'll see how big a factor, you know, Ward and Mr. Jones make on defense. You know, see what you can do with the defense, you know, playing together and offense has figured things out. Now, they can't come out lay an egg like they did versus Pittsburgh. That's for darn sure. You know, they can't start slow like that. They got to generate some stuff. And like I said in the game, man, McKinnon, man, he's good.
Now let's.
And it's his press conference. Oof.
Oh yeah, we talked about tremendous green jacket that we loved very much. But let me pause right now to tout you and your tweet during the game. Early on, the Chiefs' offense was struggling.
Yeah.
You tweeted, and this is before McKinnon started to go off. Okay, you tweeted
before it was first quarter.
Yeah,
it was.
Chiefs' offense really needs to feed McKinnon. They're getting pass happy too soon. I retweeted that, and then we were verbally attacked by one Chiefs fan that refused to stop tweeting at us the entire game. McKinnon, you know. And, like, yeah, McKinnon. And then right after that, he scores a touchdown, and they start feeding him the football. And so you, and we've talked about this before. We wanted to see McKinnon get more snaps. And so now, do you feel that way? And this all depends on, you know, Darrell Williams, he didn't practice. He did not practice to try to rest that toe. Clyde was a full participant yesterday, but we'll see what he does today. But whether or not Clyde comes back, do you still believe that McKinnon should be at least one of the guys that's being fed the football, getting more touches? Tell me why you felt that way during the game and what you thought of his performance and what it means moving forward.
So what I saw during the game is, you know, kind of what we saw towards the end of the season, really, was like, okay, man, here's okay, step one, I love a good, hungry running back. You know, Williams, when Edwards-Helaire, he was hungry. He was on, and then he got hurt. And I could tell that toe ain't right, so he's not confident on it, so he ain't willing to run through stuff. And McKinnon, man, him and Gordon, they just played so well to finish the season. I saw a shine in them. I saw a hunger in them. And when you have a hungry running back paired with this offense line and this offense, it's dangerous. It's so dangerous. And just I think it's something where he was a guy to get things going, just, you know, run the ball a couple times and up the middle. You know, they're running between the tackles. Like, I was like, Chief, you got this figured out, man. And you know what? You know who he reminds me of? He reminds me of LeSean McCoy a lot. He really does. And he reminds
me
of LeSean.
Not Chiefs LeSean McCoy, but pre-Chiefs LeSean McCoy.
But prime. LeSean McCoy and Le'Veon Bell, where he's got that sort of, like, this offense line is sort of built like a Pittsburgh O-line where they can run the ball down your throat. And if you got a running back who ain't afraid to change it up with tempo, where, you know, you run and then you hit a hole, or you be patient, you know, you wait, you go up to the line of scrimmage, you know, wait for things to settle out and then hit that hole. And he's got it, man. He's got the patience. He's got the hunger. And I'm like, man, they get this guy going. It's a wrap. And they did. And it's like, man, you know, he's showing glimpses, man. If you watch the games, he's showing glimpses. And that's why I was like, man, get him going. He's the X factor, because they're not expecting him to.
Do you think
open the game up?
Do you okay? So let's say Clyde's healthy and plays,
and that's
hey, who knows? He practiced last week and then didn't practice and didn't play. Do you think he'll still get a good amount of touches, Jerick McKinnon, even if Williams and Helaire, which is unlikely, are both healthy, or do you think this is just going to be a one time thing? And if Clyde's healthy, he'll get the lion's share of the touches.
So it depends on health, like how you gauge it. You know, they're gauging them. The trainers are gauging them right now. They're seeing, you know, what's your ability level. And I forget what game Clyde go down. Did he go down in the Pittsburgh game? Was it before that?
It was the Pittsburgh game, right? Because he missed the last two.
So that game to me was like when Clyde took like his biggest step. When it was a goal line touchdown and he ran through a tackle.
Right.
And I'm like, damn. I'm like, that's a grown man run. So I'm like, okay, Clyde, you know what, man? Here you go. You know, you've earned that title to be the starter with that run. Because I'm like, okay, you've shown it once down the goal line. When you get paid the big bucks, if you can break through a tackle and get a touchdown, you know, be hungry, he did it. So I'm like, okay, Clyde. So if Clyde's 100% healthy, yeah, I'd say start him. Because you never want to lose an injury to being starting, but then also make sure McKinnon's in that rotation ready to go if Clyde ain't getting it done or if he's not 100%. And the same thing with Williams. You know, if that toe's bugging him, sit him out. You know, don't make him active because you need to save him. And, you know, if you play on the injury, you can play through it. No big deal, but it's going to make it worse. And we might need you if, you know, the Chiefs can handle Buffalo.
And see, like McKinnon's shown he can be a playmaker when he's healthy. When he was with Minnesota, you know, the 49ers gave him a big contract, but health has always been the issue. But then we see him up in training camp. He looked good. He was healthy. Like, man, oh, man, he's going to be an exciting weapon to watch. And because of injury and other things, it just never came to fruition, really, in the regular season. We saw glimpses. But he had that touchdown against the Broncos, right? And he made a couple of guys miss, then powered his way into the end zone. And then you see him and what he can do, not only as in the running game, but as a receiver. And so it's not crazy, because think about Damian Williams. He could never really stay healthy for a full season. But when you have that added element of a guy, of a guy that can get outside, that can, you know, get to the edge and make something happen with his speed, that gives this offense an extra element that it, so let's be honest, Clyde's a good running back, but he doesn't have that explosiveness. He doesn't have that speed, and neither does Darrell Williams. How much does that add to the offense when you have a guy like that who can, you know, who can get outside and make something happen? And if you make a guy miss, he can hit you for 20 yards. He has that explosiveness. How much does that mean to the Chiefs' offense if that truly is what he can offer you in this postseason?
It's an easy dump, because if you're Patrick, you know, you're going through your progressions and you're going through each and, oh, he's open right there. Boom, hit him. And then, you know, without fail, if the linebacker's covering him, that's an easy first down. That's a super easy first down. And so now you got defenses that are like, okay, well, how do we do this? Do we still play with, you know, do we do two linebackers, or do we put in three linebackers, or put in the hybrid safety, as like, you know, kind of a nickel back, right? You do like a nickel back, you know, remove a Will linebacker, a Sam linebacker. And then it's like, okay, cool. All right. You're going to put in a nickel back, you know, for your other linebacker. Okay. Let's run the ball on you. Right. So it's like, you know, it's this chess match. You're playing with the defense where, okay, what's the personnel? Oh, you're going to not three linebackers. Okay. We're going to hit the running back in the backfield. You know, that's an easy W. Oh, you're going to put a nickel back in? Okay. We're going to run the ball on you guys now. So you get that option, then you mix it up, and then all of a sudden they're worried about the run game, and then here comes Travis. You know, Travis pops open. You know, Tyreek pops open. Byron Pringle pops open. So that's what you do. You know, that's how you break a defense, is, you know, create mismatches like that. And because players have shown it on film, teams will study that, and they'll be like, damn, what do we do? This is a mismatch. And then now the offense has them checkmated.
Nick Leckie is our guest. Nate Bucati is the co-host.
What's up, dude? So last night I was at Stan Weber's house, name drop, playing his board game that he's invented, where you can play these games out and see what happens. And we played it four times. The Buffalo Bills won twice, and the Chiefs won twice.
Uh-oh.
And one of the games, I was managing the Bills. It was a close – two of them were blowouts, one for the Chiefs, one for the Bills, and two really close games. And one of the games that was really close, it was a tie game in the fourth quarter, and Josh Allen broke off a 30-yard run that busted the game in favor of the Bills. And that's been in my mind, because, like, I you can picture that happening, especially with some of the poor tackling we've seen from the Chiefs. For example, the Drew Lock, you know, runs that he pulled off at the end of the regular season. How important is it to limit Josh Allen's running game, and how do the Chiefs get that done?
Oh, it's big. You know, I think the Chiefs can borrow on what Baltimore did to them early on in the season, where, you know, you can do a sort of delayed blitz and sort of put a safety spy on Josh Allen, or put a quicker D tackle on a spy. Whereas, you know, you maybe rush three if you got four down linemen on a, you know, third medium, and, you know, you rush three guys heavily, you know, gap control. You're not really, honestly, this is a weird sound, but you're not really looking for sacks. You're looking for containment. And if you can get open, try it. And then if you got a spy back there to sort of, you know, dissuade Josh from running, that's what you got to do. But, yeah, he will make plays with his legs. And I think when he makes plays with his legs, and that's, you know, that could be a difference maker, because he's fast and he's fearless. And he's really fast and fearless. I definitely give him the edge running the ball versus Patrick, like, by a lot, you know, by a lot. So he's dangerous. He's a weapon. He's a real weapon.
Nick Leckie's our guest. You know, I've heard lots about you know, how the Chiefs have lost to the other three remaining AFC playoff contenders. But what I don't hear too much of is the fact that the Chiefs, they beat five playoff teams in the regular season. Philly, Green Bay, Las Vegas, Dallas, and Pittsburgh. How many playoff teams do you think the Bills have beaten this year?
I guess they beat New England.
That's one.
Did they play Cincinnati? I don't think they did. I'm not sure. You know, I think you got to put asterisks versus the Chiefs versus the Green Bay game, too, because they should not have won if Aaron Rodgers was in. I will be a wet blanket in that regard.
Well, they had the
softest schedule. Like, you compare schedules. I mean, there was no greater, like, strength of schedule than the Chiefs had to open up the season. I mean, it's a gauntlet. I mean, it was a massive gauntlet that they barely – and they had, you know, no Frank Clark, no Melvin Ingram. You know, and Chris Jones is out of position. The defense is all wonky. I mean, this Chiefs team is coming together at the exact right time. You know, people are getting healthy when you need them. They're clicking. They're playing with confidence, man. Like I said, I think Jones, he's a difference maker inside. And he opens it up to those two guys on the outside, Frank and Melvin. I mean, just, oh, I mean, it's different. You can't even watch that old Buffalo game without, you know, Chris Jones being in there. He's just that much of a difference maker. It is.
They beat two playoff teams, the Patriots and the Chiefs. That's it.
Yeah, that's it. And they beat them early on. Like, and then they had, and then to the opposite, Buffalo had the easiest schedule. They beat down a New Orleans team that had nobody, and people were like, "Oh, they're legit." I'm like, "No, they're not legit. Look at the game. Look at who was out." And no, don't just read a box score. But yeah, I mean, listen, they're playing good. You know, they rubber matched New England. New England wasn't that good. You know, Mac Jones in a threat. If you can pass it three times and beat you, they're like, we're not going to let that happen again. And then they beat him in the playoffs. So you don't trust Mac. And, yeah, like I said, it's going to be a great matchup. You know, but both teams beat some soft playoff teams, which is, this is about the max of number of playoff teams, by the way.
So on Sunday you have – a Buffalo team that, like you said, they won earlier against the Chiefs, but not only Chris Jones, no Melvin Ingram and no Charvarius Ward,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
But when just talking strictly about the pass rush, that's a world of difference. Melvin Ingram wasn't on the team, and Chris Jones wasn't on the field. And those are just excuses. No, I mean, like right now. Everyone here, how would you feel about the Chiefs' chances if I told you, okay, no Chris Jones and no Melvin Ingram on Sunday? How much would that damage your confidence level?
I would be.
It would
damage it a lot.
Right. And so they didn't have those two guys. And it's not just Chris Jones, Melvin Ingram. And I get it. Melvin Ingram doesn't show up too much in the box score. But you see what he means. You know this as an offensive lineman. You tell me what does he bring? What is he going to bring to the game on Sunday that the Chiefs missed that last time against Buffalo?
He's bring power.
So he runs. He has so much power. Like, they'll run these counters where the guard will kick out the end and the tackle will pull up to the linebacker, and then, you know, counters and power plays. And you ain't, if you're running it towards Melvin Ingram, you're like, this is like hitting a wall. And you're like, oh, it's 24. It's just a safety. Like, oh my God, he's a man. That's what are we doing?
He's bringing power.
So yes, he did, and that's what he does. And so in that run game, he's stout, and then pass rush, it's fantastic. And the ones where, you know, they might not get a lot of sacks, but they're going to generate pressure, and they're going to say, you got to be conscious and be prepared for Josh to go rabbit, and, you know, make sure to catch him if he does. And it's like, wow, man, as an old lineman, if I was Buffalo and I'm facing this D lineman, I'm like, man, this is gonna be it. This is gonna be everything. And then you bring in your backups, like, you know, like Okafor. I mean, that's your whatever. And you got that package where you got those four in. And then, you know, Collins playing fantastic on the inside. You know, it's just, oh, I mean, it's a great D line, man. It's a really great D line.
In the
it brings a lot of confidence.
And to your point, do you know who the highest graded interior defensive lineman was next to Aaron Donald in the wild card weekend?
Who?
I saw this, so I'm not going to guess.
Who was? Well, then there, don't guess. Nick?
Who was it?
Jake?
I have no clue.
Tershawn Wharton, according to Pro Football Focus.
Dude is stout. I mean, just athletic. Listen, when your interior guys are like that, and then you get your exterior guys like that, you got a good rotation, and you're like, okay, backups are in. Like, oh, man, okay, they're not. Okay, all right, well, geez. It's a heavy rotation, and everyone's healthy, which brings me great, great joy.
We have Nick Leckie on the line. So how does this game play out? What do you think we're going to see? What kind of game are we going to see on Sunday?
You know, I think it's going to be one of those games where, like, you know, I think it sounds cliche at this point when I say it, but, man, try to shove the ball, like kind of what Alabama came out and did to Cincinnati in the playoff game. Just run it. Hey, maybe that first drive, we might just establish dominance and just run the ball down your throat and, like, can you stop it? And just do that. And then also, you know, warm up Patrick, you know. Say, hey, we're not going to try any deep balls yet. You know, we're trying to get Travis involved early. You know, maybe get Pringle. Maybe get D-Rob, you know. So it's like just got to get it. And I think the Chiefs will win if they do that. I think that's a formula. Is play to your strength. And your strength is your defense right now. Your absolute strength is your defense. So ball possession, you know, get them grimy 10, 15 play drives. Wear out this defense. Wear them out. Just absolutely wear them out. And give your defense time to rest. That's the key. That's the key to this game. If they do that, the Chiefs will get a W.
Nick, Travis Kelce has four consecutive 100-yard games in the postseason. And nobody has a streak longer than that in the Super Bowl era. It's just every time he does something, it's like, well, this has never happened before, and this has never happened before. I know Mahomes gets all the love for that, but what the numbers Travis Kelce's putting up have not happened before, as you know, from a tight end. So if you're Buffalo, and here we go with this, because as Adam Kaplan brought this up, and this is the ballad of the Buffalo Bills, right? Well, Matt Milano can take care of him just one-on-one. And I'm here to tell you, no, he can't. And I hope they think that. I hope they try that. What are you doing? Because I just feel like it's harder to take Kelce out of the game than it is Tyreek Hill sometimes. Because there's just nothing you can do with Kelce. He's so big, and he's got moves like a wide receiver. If you're Buffalo and you're thinking about, okay, you got the two biggest guys you got to take care of are Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce. What are you doing? What's the game plan going to be for Buffalo's very good defense on Sunday when dealing with Hill and or Kelce?
I mean, Hill's got that deep thread, but I mean, I think what it comes down to, if you're Buffalo, if you can shut down Travis, I think that's Patrick's real security blanket. Is when he connects with Travis, then it feels like everything's right with the offense. And until he does connect with Travis, it doesn't feel like the offense is in sync. Travis or Patrick doesn't feel like he's, you know, quite settled. So I think early on, get everyone else involved, and then make Travis your third read on any pass plays. And so it's going to have to be like that, you know. And Travis will have to be, you know, used as a blocker in the slot. And then, you know, if you do that enough, and then all of a sudden he's like, oh, no, for a block, nope, just a pass route, play action, boom, hit him. And I think that would be successful. I think we'll see that, right? So
what's the score going to be?
I'm thinking Chiefs 32, and I'm thinking Buffalo's going to score 32-27.
32-27, very unique score, 32-27. And finally,
yeah.
I know this is all about playoff football this weekend. The return of which show this weekend has you more excited? The return of Ozark on Friday or the return of Billions on Sunday?
I'm glad that, you know, Bobby Axelrod's going to have, you know, spend some time in real life with his family.
Right.
So, I would say I'm far behind, so I go with Ozarks.
Okay.
But I tell you what, man, I just rewatched Altered Carbon this past week. Well, that was a great show. That was a really good show. I'm into those crime noir, futuristic sci-fi. That's my jam, I think. I've just altered carbon with fantastic technology that's kind of almost come to real life fruition. So check that. That's my pick of the week to everybody, my B-side pick.
You ever watch Mr. Robot?
I've never seen that. I know. I've heard it's great, though.
It is.
I've heard it's really good.
Watch Mr. Robot. I love it.
Okay.
And so then you mentioned something. I do have to ask you this because I had this conversation with Mr. Chad Boger recently. Do you believe Billions will be good without Bobby Axelrod? Because people that don't know, Damian Lewis left the show because he's going to spend more time with his family in England because his wife, a wonderful actress, Helen McCrory, who was one of the stars of Peaky Blinders, she played Polly, she passed away. And so Damian Lewis, the actor, said, I'm stepping away from acting. I'm going to spend more time with my family. So he's no longer on Billions, at least for the time being. Do you think that will still be an effective, powerful show without Bobby Axelrod?
I do. I think his character had a lot of stuff happen. They battled through some stuff. To me, it was like when he battled with Teddy KGB.
Right.
That was like, to me, peak.
That's
I was like, that's when like Billions peaked, right? Because he's the ultimate bad guy.
John Malkovich,
I
yes.
I love him.
Absolutely.
So good. So I think it'd be cool to meet new blood, new life. You know, the trailer looks crazy. I love how Taylor is, you know, becoming prominent too. Mm-hmm. I mean, definitely deservedly so. That person is kick butt and brilliant mind.
Very well
so
said.
That'll be cool.
Very good stuff from our friend Nick Leckie. Nick, thank you so much for the time. We will talk to you next week.
Thanks, gents. Have a great one.
That is Nick Leckie. We'll be back after this on WHB.